Welcome to our new podcast series, Round Rock Sunday Sermons. My name is Brad Britton, senior pastor at First United Methodist Church of Round Rock. We are so glad you've connected with us. You can connect in different ways through social media, through our live streams on Facebook or YouTube, our website, fumc-rr.org. Use hashtag FUMCRR. Also, please leave a 5-star review. We are here to walk with you and look forward to seeing you soon, however you join in. In the very near future, we'll be adding community missions to these podcasts, so stay plugged in to find out how you can help. We want you to know that we want to get to know you, to connect with you, and be the church where you can plug in and grow in your faith in Christ. And so, thank you. We welcome you, and let's take this journey together. Let's pray. God, help us to hear a word of hope and grace and love and what you say to us and through us. And especially this day, as we consider what your son did for us as he rode into Jerusalem. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. You know, when we read scripture, we often put ourselves into the story. And I think that's a great way to read scripture. If we're honest, we like to put ourselves in the story in the best light possible. So if somebody comes out and some of the story's not looking good, we automatically just put that to the side and we go straight to the best part. I mean, it's human nature. But you think about the stories that Jesus told and the experiences that they had, and we put ourselves in those places. Consider the feeding of the 5,000 plus. They're there at the shoreline of the Sea of Galilee. There's this great crowd. The disciples come to Jesus and say, hey, they're tired and hungry. Let's send them away. And Jesus says, no, you feed them. And they said, we have nothing. He said, well, what do you have? And, well, 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. And he takes it, and somehow, miraculously, all are fed. And you can put yourself there in the green grass along the hillside. You've just had your meal, and you're staring at 12 baskets of leftovers. There was more than enough. Or we could put ourselves in the position of hearing Jesus tell the story of the workers in the vineyard. Each day, the day laborers would gather in a certain area and hope to be hired to go out and work in a vineyard. 6 a.m., they arrive, and the first group goes out. 9 o'clock, they come and get some more, and they'd agreed to this daily wage. And noon, the same thing. 3 o'clock, and then 5 o'clock, just 1 hour worked, 1 hour left in the work day, they come and get the last group. Then it's time for everyone to be paid at the end of the work day, and you're in this story somewhere. You've put yourself in the story, and you are there at the counter to be paid, and everybody gets the same pay. And you're one of the ones that showed up at 6 a.m. And you march down to HR. Thinking of the email you're going to compose. Or are you one of the ones that was asked to work at 5 and you're walking down the hall to HR to say, I love this place. Oh, the grace. Mercy. Or maybe you're there as Jesus is telling the story of the prodigal son. He said a father had 2 sons, and the youngest of the two basically said, Dad, I wish you'd drop dead. Just give me my money and I'll be on my way. And surprisingly, that's what the father did. He said, here's your share of the inheritance. He goes off, you know the story, he blows it. Nowhere else to go but back home, and you put yourself in that young man's shoes as he's going back home thinking, what on earth is my father going to do to me? And you're stunned when he runs to you and he embraces you. And not only that, he throws a massive party because you're back. And then there's our story today. Just imagine if you're one of the disciples. You have given up everything to follow Jesus at this point. You really don't know where this thing's headed, but you're going along. And next thing you know, you find yourself in Caesarea Philippi, this beautiful Roman city, beautiful landscape, temples to every god under the sun and marble, and you can just imagine the sun glistening as Jesus stands there in Caesarea Philippi, the city named after the emperor, and asks them the most important question they'll ever be asked. He started by asking, well, who do people say that I am? Now, he knew the answer. He was Son of God, so I think he knew what the answer was, but he asked them anyway, who do people say that I am? And some of them said, well, some say you're John the Baptist, some say Elijah, some say Jeremiah, one of the other prophets. And then you can almost see Jesus with his piercing eyes looking into their souls and maybe your own soul when he says, but who do you say that I am? What about you? And none other than Simon Peter speaks up. You are the Messiah. Jesus says you are correct, and flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father in heaven. And you think everything's great. We're in this beautiful city. Everything's going wonderful. He's just answered correctly. And then Jesus throws a curveball. He then says, by the way, I must suffer. I will be killed and raised on the third day. So this wonderful, beautiful day has taken a turn, and now Peter steps up again, the one who said, you're the Messiah, and says, actually rebuked him, said, this cannot be. This cannot happen to you. And I think any one of us would have done the same thing if we were in the same situation. And then you remember Jesus said, get behind me, Satan, for your mind is on earthly things and not divine things. And then he doubles down and takes it even further. He looks at the disciples and he says, if anyone wants to become my follower, then he or she must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. Now remember, he hasn't died on the cross yet, but they knew what a cross was. That's what the Roman government used to torture people along the side of the road. And how odd was it that this man they'd given their life to follow looks at them and basically says, you need to pick up one of those too. If there was an exit door, I'd be the first one out at that point, because we know what crucifixions are. And then we come to today, and it's Palm Sunday. It's the day that we remember and celebrate Jesus' entry into Jerusalem. This is towards the end of the gospel story. He is going to ride in on a donkey, coming in peace. And there from the Mount of Olives, as he looks down at Jerusalem and the disciples are there, they know exactly what this means, and they're troubled. And so you can just imagine yourself, you're there in the crowd, and everybody is along the path. And the moment has come for Jesus to make clear who he is. He asked them earlier, who do you say that I am? And now he's going to give them the answer. So my oldest son, Ben, is getting married this summer. And Ben and Morgan are actually here. Hello, good to see you. We could do this now. Y'all want to do the wedding now? Look at the crowd. We have tacos, donuts, we're here. Flowers. We're so excited about this. The wedding's in June, and so we're just looking forward to it. And so my role in the planning process is to just stay out of it, because I just don't know much about this and anything related to it being done well. I do the ceremony and tell me what time to show up. Where do I go get measured for the tux, right? So my wife, Alicia, a couple of weeks ago had asked, hey, need to find a wedding dress for me to wear for the wedding. And I said, yeah, sure, I'll go with you. Let's go. I mean, how hard can it be? Maybe about an hour, we can pick up some lunch and, right? Sure. Yeah, let's go. But I just said that I need to go. This will be good. It'll be good to spend some time together, go do this. So we go, and we're at the mall, and I'm the guy that sits out in one of the chairs in the mall, just people watches. Anybody else, you know? And these stores are smart. They started putting comfortable chairs where we can sit. And so I was out there sitting as she was trying on some dresses, and she sent me a text. Hey, come look at this one. And so I get up, walk into the store. I make my way to the back, and there's this lady that greets me there. And so I didn't realize this process involved another person that's actually involved. It's not just, you know, it's much bigger than I thought. And I'm like, oh my gosh, all these girls trying on prom dresses. What am I doing in here? You know, I walk in, the lady greets me, and the lady actually asked me, what do you think of this one? I said, looks great. I said, now I'm colorblind, but I think it looks wonderful. And she realized what a moron I was at that point, the salesperson. And she says, why don't you just sit over there? And so my role, which I think I played well, was to get up and to zip up the back, you know? So it's zip, sit, zip, sit, and had the best time. Really, it was actually fun. I'm going to admit it. It was actually fun. I'd never experienced this. And I learned some new things about dress shopping. So one of the ones that Alicia tried on, the salesperson said, I like it, but it washes you out a little bit. And so everybody, of course, has different colors that look the best. And so I learned that. And so as I was zipping, I learned that sometimes the tags on the back, and I'd take a peek, at the price tag, and I kind of just do one of these, not thinking there's mirrors all around. Everybody can see this. One in particular that was more expensive, I looked and I said, this one kind of washes you out a little bit, I think. It just, I mean, I that dress does not deserve you to wear it. But you know, the salesperson said something, and it really stuck with me. At one point, as she mentioned this particular dress, she said, I want to see more of you. I want to see more of you. And isn't that really what we want to see this week in Christ? We want to see more of him, whatever that means. And the people gathered along the road that day leading in Jerusalem, they wanted to see more of him too. They had their own expectations of what a Messiah should be, and he wouldn't fit any of them at the end. Yet there he was, making his way peacefully down the road. And if you put yourself along the road, you can see who's there. You can see Zacchaeus. You remember Zacchaeus? You can see him. He's got a front row view. He got there early this time, didn't need to climb a tree. He was on the front. Across the way was the woman caught in adultery, and everyone else wanted to condemn her, and yet Jesus forgave her and offered grace, and she's there waving her palm branch. You know, one of the Gospels just has it that they laid their cloaks down in honor on the road. Doesn't mention the branches. Wouldn't that be funny if this was Cloak Sunday? Bring your cloak to church and throw it in the aisle. But most of them mention both. And so you can see them waving their branches. And Hosanna, you know, we sing Hosanna every year at this time. And we go home, we think, what in the world does Hosanna mean? But, you know, it's nice. Hosanna means save us. So every time somebody waves a palm branch or drops a cloak, they're saying, save us, whatever that looks like. And so there you are, you're at the end of the line. Jesus is making his way. You've already thrown your cloak on the ground. You even have a branch. And if you knew then what he was really going to do, which is to go die for you, if you knew that then, you might even give him the shirt off your back. And maybe, just maybe, you'd give him your life too.
Thanks for tuning in to this week's sermon series podcast from First United Methodist Church of Round Rock, Texas. For more information, you can find us online at fumc-rr.org or find us on social media at fumcrr.